This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Up till now, when we talk with Mitch Albom about something he's written, it's a thoughtful conversation, reflective, exploring questions about life and death, like the first phone call from heaven or the magic strings of Frankie Presto. Mitch Albom is out with something new, and this time, no wiping away any tears. Opening tonight at the City Theater in Detroit is Mitch Albom's new play, Hockey the Musical. Mitch Albom, welcome.
Thank you, Cynthia.
I know when I first got wind, I heard Mitch is working on a musical about hockey, and I kind of went, what? So what was the thought process that got you going, hey, hockey players, singing, dancing, laughing, let's put this all together?
Well, a couple of things. First, I was a musician when I started, so it's not that big a jump for me to go to music. It's just about 25, 30 years too late. But I always sort of had a musical in the back of my head to try at some point in my life. And of all the sports that I've covered, hockey is the quirkiest by far, and the sweetest, and the most, I don't know, empathetic. You know, it's sort of the underdog sport of all the four big major ones in America. It's always last, and it's always fighting for attention. It goes years without a TV contract. You put people in penalty boxes where they have to sit like little kids, you know, when they do something wrong. They throw octopuses. You got people speaking Swedish and Russian and Finn in the locker room. So I always thought it was a pretty rich field for humor, and I've observed a lot of the humor in it. And then I think after doing Ernie, we realized that, you know, sports and theater don't have to be antithetical to each other. They can actually work. And I know that women tend to traditionally sort of go to musicals more than men. I'm not trying to be, you know, broad brush it, but I think factually that kind of is what they've observed.
Certainly worked in my life.
Yeah. And men are kind of dragged, like, oh, God, I got to see Cats, really?
No, Les Miserables, are you kidding? Yeah.
Yeah. So here's a play that not only has singing and dancing in it, you know, full Broadway quality type stuff. I hope people feel that way. But also a lot of sports jokes and a lot of local references and cameo appearances on the screen by real hockey players talking to the actors. So guys will definitely not feel like they were dragged to Spring Awakening or something like that.
Let's take a quick listen to a clip, and then we'll talk about the plot.
When you're a wing, you're a 3-1-3.
Say it loud.
Say it proud.
You're a man from the G.
Come on, y'all. Woo.
Woo. Come on.
Woo.
Right.
Yeah.
Woo.
Woo.
Come on. Woo.
By the dawn's early light.
Oh, octopus, oh, octopus. To throw you, I am wishing.
Oh, octopus, oh, octopus.
Inside my pants, you're squishing.
And any one of us who have been to the Joe to see that octopus get hurled out, we know how it got in there.
So. That's right. They hide them in their pants. Yeah, that's part of that. I guess that's a mashup of some of the song called When You're a Wing, which is sort of a takeoff on When You're a Jet from the from West Side Story. And it's gotten unbelievable response when we've done it, because, of course, it's like shooting fish in a barrel to do a song about the Red Wings. And it has a lot of Red Wing references. And we have these big video screens behind the actors. In fact, we really don't have a set. It's just a big wall of screens, and the screens keep changing constantly. And so there's a lot of footage of the Red Wings and dancing octopuses. And, it's very, very funny, and it gets a big rousing cheer at the end because everyone feels like they're sort of rooting for the home team.
And the whole idea is what? God says we got to get rid of a sport?
Yeah, so the premise is basically it starts very majestically. You know, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and he created man, and then man, with all this beauty in the world, created sports, you know, and then it shows how man created 8,000 sports. And so the premise is that God decides that man has created too many damn sports, and one needs to go because he needs to teach him a lesson. He considers sending a flood. And then he says, nah, he already did that, so he'll just send an angel down to eliminate a sport. Angel comes down, arbitrarily picks hockey off a list. A fan jumps out of the audience and says, not hockey, oh my God, not hockey. He's got a Stanley Cup on his head at the time. And he says, you know, anything but hockey, it's the greatest sport in the world. And gets down on his knees and he pleads with God, you know, if I can find 100 pure hockey souls, will you save the sport? And God says, find 5. You're never going to find 100. And he says, okay, 5. And then he conjures up 5. He thinks he's conjuring up Wayne Gretzky and Stevie Eiserman and Terry Sawchuk and Don Cherry, all these famous people to help him argue, you know, the case for hockey. But the angel can't spell, and so he misspells every one of the names. And so instead of getting Wayne Gretzky, they get Dwayne Gretzky, an African-American guy who works in Bed Bath & Beyond. And instead of getting Don Cherry, they get Dawn Cherry, who's a hair and nail specialist, a female from Piscataway, and a bunch of other people like that. And he's stuck with them because he only gets to pick one team. So these five average folks who really don't know all that much about hockey But it turns out they all have a little connection to it, have to make the case to save the game, and they have to score 10 points before the play is over, or God destroys hockey forever. And there's scoreboards that are hanging on the side. I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous from top to bottom.
Too fun. And I thought it was pretty cool. I read your column on Mother's Day about the fact that you are collaborating with your brother, Peter,
yeah.
who has quite the theater and dancing resume.
Yeah, he, you know, we, the last time we were even in the same city was when we were like 21 and 20 years old. And then he went off to become a very successful dancer and choreographer. He worked with Alvin Ailey and the London Royal Ballet, and he lived in Barcelona and Amsterdam. And we've just never been in the same place. And over the years, as I've done things in theater or movies, I always ask him, you know, you want to do something? And he's always like, come on, I live 9,000 miles. I can't. And then I think after our mom passed away, maybe that had something to do with it. But I sent him the obligatory email like, okay, I know you're going to say no, but I'm just telling you I'm going to do a musical. And I have another director I'm about to hire, but in case you want to do. And he sent me back a note saying, well, I hope you're sitting down because I'm going to say yes this time. And he moved here from London for several months to live here and direct it. And it's been an indescribable joy in my 50s to get to work with my kid brother for the first time, and he's extremely funny and very talented, and he's made a really great show.
Hockey the Musical opens tonight at Detroit City Theater. That's the theater inside of the Hockey Town Cafe right next to the Fox Theater. It'll run for 5 weeks, and then Ernie comes back for a sixth season at City Theater and also around Michigan. Best of luck with Hockey the Musical, Mitch Albom.
Thanks.
Always great talking with you.
Yeah, me too, Cynthia. Thanks.